You may know of Daniel more than what you saw there. You may know that this phrase that we have in our society of seeing the writing on the wall is lifted from a story inside of Daniel. You may have heard about his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace and miraculously escaped, miraculously spared by God. All these are great stories, the book of Daniel. But really the greatest one of all is about how one guy hit the same nail for 70 years. What's the last thing you did for 10 years? What's the last thing you've done for 2 years? Today we're going to really affirm all of us who are standing the same post and encourage you to stay in that post. Let's pray before we go any further. God, I'm thankful for people like Daniel and his example to us. And I'm thankful that all of us get to see his life and to be challenged. And I pray that that happens today, that we're affirmed, we're challenged, we're encouraged to stay right where we are and serve others and serve you faithfully. So help my words to be true, and most importantly, help them to be accurate reflections of your heart and your will. And I pray these things according to the faithful name and reputation of Jesus. Amen. A lot of times we encourage one another to try something new and to make a break. Today, I am encouraging and defaulting to asking you to look where you are right now and stay there. Be faithful to where you are and don't think that the next thing is the sexy thing, but the sexy thing is staying true to where you are right now. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the New Testament part of the Bible, chapter 7, it says this: only let each person lead the life that God has assigned to him and to which God has called him or her. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. I want you to assume today the condition you're in, the vocation you're in, your marital status, your profession, your school, wherever you are, assume that's exactly where God wants you, and you're supposed to stand your post hitting the same nail out of faithfulness. Three ideas today. Number one, faithfully present. So oftentimes, some of us think that faithfulness is when I take a stand for truth or when I protest something or I sign a petition. Hey, man, how about just staying where you are and joyfully serving? How about just staying where you are, keeping your yapper shut and hitting the same nail over and over again? This happens with Daniel. In the very first chapter of the book of Daniel, we see that Daniel was recruited as a young boy into an executive training program, basically. The nation of Israel is in captivity and being suppressed by the nation of Babylon. But Babylon is just looking for great young minds. They look for the best and the brightest. And what do you know? One person who makes this program is a Jew by the name of Daniel. Daniel gets in this program and they have to follow a certain eating diet. They have them eating the king's delicacies and drinking the king's wine. And now there's anything wrong with delicacies or anything wrong with wine inherently. In fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit in our next series on play and pleasure. Starts next week. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that. It's going to be great. But Daniel, for who he is and the choices he's made, he's decided to have a different diet, that he needs a different diet. He's decided to eat vegetables and water. And so when he finds out that it's an expectation everybody has this king's diet, watch how he interacts with his bosses, with his superiors. It says this in chapter 1, verse 8. Well, Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Eunuchs were senior officials in any king's royal court. Eunuchs were men who had no unit. And they actually officially underwent castration, because in the ancient world, to be close to the king meant that you had power, and to try to quell any possibility of a rebellion, they would have their senior most officials castrated, because they would not then go after to be king, because they couldn't have their own royal household. They couldn't do their own royal seat, if you will. So this was a safety measure in all ancient royal cultures. And so Daniel goes to somebody very close to the top of the organizational chain, and I love how he handles this. He asked him to allow him not to defile himself. You can really sense some diplomacy here. This is how you faithfully last in the same job, the same company, the same organization. You learn how to be diplomatic. You learn how to defer. I don't know why it is that many people who carry the quote-unquote Christian banner are just angry people. I don't know how it is that many people are just annoying when they call themselves faithful. No, they're actually annoying. The way you're faithful is you're pleasant to work with. The way you're faithful is people like to be around you. The way you're faithful is when you address something that you disagree with, you do it in a diplomatic and honorable way. And Daniel does this with senior officials. And they say, okay, well, here's what we'll do. We'll allow you to follow your diet. And if it seems very obvious that you look malnourished relative to the other guys, we're going to have to change it because the king is going to be upset. And actually they do that, and Daniel looks fine and healthy, and everything continues to go on. This is part of the way that Daniel wisely operates and how he is faithfully present. Sometimes people think they're faithful just when they leave. They're faithful when they complain. Man, when you hit the same nail day after day, week after week, month after month, that is a sign of faithfulness. Daniel is faithfully present. He also has a faithful profession. He faithfully professes who he is. We think of a professional today as somebody who is paid to be something. That certainly is what a professional is. But really, the original etymology of that term, of that word, is that which how you work professes what you believe. What you do is a profession of the God you serve or the God you follow. All of us have a profession in here. Even if you unfortunately are unemployed right now, the way you conduct yourself, order your day, is a profession of the entity that you are faithfully serving or the philosophy you are faithfully going after. You know, we have superheroes today, but they're not like Iron Man or like Spider-Man. The superheroes of our day are people who faithfully hit the same nail in the profession that they do on a day-in, day-out basis. I have a vocation. I'm a pastor. I have a profession as that as well. But I'll tell you what I do right now is no more God-honoring. God is no more excited about the things I do when I'm on stage or someplace else than he is about somebody who is in a quote-unquote normal job day in, day out. Superheroes today are people who faithfully hit the same nail in whatever vocation you're in. Let me show you some examples of some superheroes around here, people I know, like Tony Wolfolk. Tony, you'll see him volunteering regularly around here, picking up stuff in between the seats in here. Tony is a machinist. He's a machinist at Johnson Controls. And I'll tell you what, Tony has been hitting the same nail or screwing the same screw, tightening the same kind of bolt for decades. I actually interacted with him after the last service, and he said his co-employees complain that he tightens the bolts too hard. That's because he faithfully hits the same nail and does his job well. He's a superhero. Here's another one, David Falk, part of our community, a friend of mine. He owns Nada and Boca Restaurant. David does a lot of interesting altruistic things. But I'll tell you what, it is a faithful thing to make great food, to hit the same nail and make flavors explode off our taste buds. God's given us taste buds to taste great flavors. And when someone faithfully does that, God is honored in every much as so as anybody who does some other altruistic thing. Wendy Smith. Wendy used to be on staff at Crossroads a number of years ago. She left. She wanted to have a place where there would be an artistic gallery and people could also get a cup of coffee, Red Tree. And how she shows up to work every day is a profession to how she believes God values artists and coffee. And she conducts her life in such a way that it is a ministry, faithfully hitting that nail. Sam Hills. What the Sam Hills? Sam Hills is a hair cutter. I don't go to Sam. I've been to him once. I'm a Supercuts, a Great Clips guy. I like the cheapness, and I like the fact I don't have to make an appointment. But I have gone to Sam once, and I'll tell you, you go to Sam, it's like you get a self-esteem massage. You just walk out of there feeling better. There's something about how he cuts hairs and makes you feel a certain way. In fact, Sam was training for quote-unquote vocational ministry, and so he realized, man, he can serve God faithfully by cutting hair, and he does it greatly, and God is as honored with that as anything anybody else does in the service of God. Here's another one, Libby. Tome, my wife, right there. She, Libby is a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom, and I'll tell you what, she faithfully stays at the same nail, ironing the same thing, cleaning, cooking, wiping. She faithfully does her job, done it for 22 years. Myself and three other people in our family are incredibly blessed by her faithful presence, by doing thankless tasks. Claude Corbett. I want to be a dentist. I don't know why anybody would want to be a dentist. Hermie wants to be a dentist. I don't know why anybody. You have to be old enough to have seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer for that. I don't know why anyone would want to stick their fingers in somebody's mouth or drill teeth out, but I'm glad someone does, and I'm glad Claude does it. I'll tell you what, teeth go bad, and God needs people who faithfully serve him that have done their schooling and take care of people's mouths so that we can eat. Claude is a faithful guy who is present, and how he operates his office and how he works on me is a profession of what he believes about God and how God cares about people and health. Al Duber, over on the west side, he and his son here, Mark, they do a shop, and you know they don't give free stuff away over at their shop. They do here because they actually run our wheels ministry. But he makes money fixing cars, and he does it in a fair way. And when he actually changes radiator fluid, gives a fair price, and tightens things down to the right torque specifications, does a great job. He is faithfully serving God. He is honoring his King. He is being a superhero in that. Justin Buckner. P&G guy's been there for, gosh, I don't know, a long time. And Justin also is a volunteer in CSM in Mason. You know, Justin does great volunteer work, and he obviously does amazing work with his wife, his new baby. But I'll tell you what, 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't know how many hours a day, he is professing his faith in God by faithfully helping more soap get sold. Hey, I'm pro soap. I like soap getting me clean, and it's an honorable thing for somebody to serve God at P&G. It is a profession. It's a faithful presence. God needs great faithful people in every single walk of life. Last one, Anna Krona Miller. Anna's always smiling like a butcher's dog whenever I see her. She does a lot of amazing things around here as a volunteer, but what she gets paid to do and what her profession is teaching kids at Sands Montessori. I'll tell you what, we need great people who serve God to build into the future minds of the next generation. In fact, she is going to spend more time with your kids than you spend with your kids if you have kids on a day-in, day-out basis. This is a profession. All these people I know and I'm excited about because they've all been hitting the same nail day after day, week after week, year after year. And the longer you hit the same nail, the better at it you become. The book of Proverbs chapter 22 says this, "Do you see a man or woman skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men." How do you get skillful in anything? You keep doing it over and over and over again. Not going, I'm tired of that one. I need to try something new here. I mean, I don't know. Let's try this over here for a little bit. I'll put this in there. Now, the way you get great in anything is you do the same thing and you faithfully hit the same nail. And it says the better you get at something, the higher you will rise and the more intense experiences you will have in doing your craft, whatever it is. Whatever it is, there are breakthroughs that you may have only after you learn a great craft and a skill, and you do it by doing the same thing repetitively over and over again. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. And Daniel does this. He diligently professes his faith by showing up to work every day, serving the king. A king, by the way, who was an oppressor of his people. Virtually any job or virtually any company you can work with, and you can be a faithful presence there. And so Daniel is doing amazing things, so much so he's becoming skillful, he's rising in the ranks, he's getting new sexy opportunities because skillful, faithful people always get great opportunities in time. And the people he started the executive training program with, they start to get jealous. They're going, man, this is not good. This guy's taking the plum assignments. He's getting the good stuff going his way. We got to, and this guy's not screwing up either. We got to do something to eliminate the competition. So here's what it says in the book of Daniel chapter 6, what they just conspire to do. The presidents and the satraps sought to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. He was faithful. They can't figure it out because he's so predictable, hitting the same nail. So the men said, I know. We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. The God's not going to do anything wrong. He just hits the same nail day after day. He faithfully serves. He faithfully has a presence and shows up every day. The only time we're going to find him going off course is if we can pass a law that outlaws what he predictably does. When you are faithful, you are predictable. Faithful people are predictable. Had someone say to me once, oh, you're so predictable. You're so predictable. Like the eunuch unit thing. You're so predictable. Yes, I am predictable in stupid, immature ways, but I love if someone thinks I'm predictable. You know what? If you're predictable, it means you're faithful. It means someone can predict what you're doing because you faithfully do the same thing over and over. And every great person has faithfully done the same thing over and over. There's no overnight successes. There's no one year that makes a great life. It's standing your post, doing the same thing, and eventually perhaps blessings start to come. But even if they don't, you can be counted as faithful because you're predictable. And they know that Daniel will not bow down to anybody other than his God. In fact, he has his personal private practice of going to his room and three times a day opening up the window and bowing and praying towards Jerusalem. Now, this nowhere is mandated in the Bible. In Islam, you know, it's mandated, bow towards Mecca. In Judaism, this is nowhere an absolute commandment at all. It's just something that Daniel for himself has learned as a helpful discipline to keep him faithful. We don't know why. Maybe the city of Jerusalem reminds me of the nation of Israel needs to one day be restored in its fullness. Maybe it's the holy city of Jerusalem is reminding him of an ultimate coming kingdom that even transcends Israel, the kingdom of God that Jesus was to talk about. We don't know exactly what it was, but this is, or why it was, but this is a regular, faithful discipline that he does. You know, when you do anything regularly and faithfully and predictably, you know what it is? Boring! You ever gone to a basketball game and the coach is trying to win a game and deploys some sort of defense strategy, and what does everyone do? Boring! Boring! It's predictable. It's predictable. It's not fun. It's not exciting. Hey, get a clue. The guy's trying to win, not be sexy. He's trying to win. And if you are going to have a life where you make things happen, where you have fruit in your life, you will have a boring life. Jesus, the very Son of God, lives 33 years. For the last 3 years of his life, we've got four books in the Bible to talk about him. The first 30 years of his life, we know about two or three little incidents in his life. The implication is the first 30 years of his life were uneventful and boring. He was a carpenter who made the same table every day, perhaps. He faithfully honored his mom and his dad. He faithfully went to synagogue. These were not sexy, amazing things, yet he faithfully hit his mark. Daniel sees some amazing things happen in his life. He does, but there's very few. If you read the book of Daniel, I encourage you to do that. You'll see that he has a number of supernatural visions that he sees or he can interpret. I don't know, maybe about five or so. You see there's a couple miracles that take place. One is, you know, his friends. He sees his friends thrown into a furnace, and God, you know, miraculously helps them. But there's just a few of them. 70 years, and you can count the crazy things on two hands. Because day in, day out, it was predictable, and it was humdrum. Daniel 6, 10 to 11, let's see what happens. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, the document that said anybody who bows to anybody other than the king will be eliminated. He goes to his house where he had windows in his upper room open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. He said, aha, we knew it. We knew you would do this. Daniel said, I want to be faithful. I will be present. I will honor the king. But there's certain places that I just can't be moved on. And even though this king has signed a decree, I will not falter on this. I will bow down to my God. This is important to do for me. I don't know what it is for you, but there's There should be things that are personal to you, you can't even describe, and maybe not even personal defend, but you just know these are the predictable things that you have to do. And it's hard work. I don't know how many times my family has tried to, or I've tried to reset a budget, family budget, a cash system, a budget system, a quick, it is grueling grunt work. It is never, I'll tell you, any time we've gotten ahead financially, it's come from the predictable faithfulness of figuring out how to control the expense side of money. It is difficult. Speaking of anything, forget about family for now. I'll come back to that moment. I'll tell you what, my life, I started off when I was following Jesus when I was about 15, 16 years old in there. And man, I had a group of folks that we were just fired up for God. Anything God wanted, we were all about doing. As I go to high school class reunions, people keep dropping away. I mean, 75% of the people who I start off in faith with are just gone from it. And it's not because some new scientific thing has come out and they realize their faith is a sham. No, it's because they were unable to hit the same nail and have certain predictable disciplines that would build their faith. I went to basically youth ministry or a ministry training program in college. I was in it for 4 years. I was in college for 7 years. I wasn't very faithful at that, but I was not. I regret that. I was not faithful at that. But I was in this program for 4 years, a 16-bedroom house, and throughout my 4 years, I don't know, 30 people or so cycled through. I think about five right now are still hitting the same nail they felt called to all that time ago. It's rare. I've been in Cincinnati doing my kind of job now for 14 years. I can't count more guys on one hand who are still hitting, or women who are still hitting, the same nail. I mean, you have to continue to stay where you are to have any traction at all. Family dinners in my house, oh my goodness, boring. How often do you come away from family dinners, excitement, oh, what a great one, oh, man. Sometimes we fight at family dinners, sometimes it's just frustrating, but you know, you say, this is something we have to faithfully hit to ground our family and reconnect. I have other things I want to do, and if something's happened at Crossroads and I can include the whole family, I want to rope them all in. And so this last week, I got invited to see a Crossroads documentary, which everybody in here will eventually be invited in some environments. And my word, it blew me away. It was amazing. So I had the whole family, five of us went in and kind of watched this thing. And it was about the history of Crossroads and where we're going in our future. It was awesome. I can't build up enough. When you get an invitation, do yourself a favor and get there. So I went there, and I was touched really deeply with it, but I didn't realize, and my wife was, Libby was, but I didn't realize what was happening with my kids. I came in the next day to work, and somehow my oldest daughter, Lena, had gotten in there, and I found a little post-it note on my computer screen. She said, Dad, thank you for giving me a passion for what God is passionate about and not what the world is passionate about. I love you, and you're a great dad. Bumbles. That's her nickname. If you call her that, we'll break your fingers. Gosh. I read that. I thought, oh, if you're a parent, man, I tell you, faithfully, predictably show up, and you rarely get accolades. You rarely get noticed. But when you do, you realize, because man, it's because I've been hitting the same, I don't know how many meetings that I've taken my kids to that they can't stand, but you faithfully hit the same thing over and over again. And every once in a while, breakthrough, because you've been staying there. Daniel ends up having to be thrown into a lion's den. Here's what it says. Oh, Daniel, this is the king speaking, who didn't want to throw him in the lion's den, but realizes I got to uphold my integrity by following through. Oh, Daniel, serve the living God, he calls in the morning. Has your God, whom you serve continually, I love this. This is like his reputation. Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. Daniel, your God, you're an angry person. Not Daniel, your God, you're signing petitions. Not Daniel, your God, you're about politics. Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually. That's his identity. He's predictable in that way. Has this God been able to deliver you from the lions? It's as if he's on the edge with bated breath. Daniel calls out, O king, live forever. I love it. O king, live. You just sentenced me to die. You just gave me a hard spot here. You didn't want to, but nonetheless you did, but yet I'm honoring you. Oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I've done no harm. This is faithfulness. Things are not going your way, and you're not complaining. You're taking your punishments. You're still pointing to God. You're faithfully proclaiming that. And you're standing your post. You're standing your ground. In the vocation that I have, there's some obviously some unique things that I do that are unusual, like be on stage in front of a bunch of people. But man, most of my day, most of my week is boring. It is humdrum. It is the same old. It is showing up again and answering emails, showing up the same meetings again, reading the same reports again, writing the same kind of notes again, signing the same kind of letters again, having the same planning sessions again, having the same debrief. I mean, it is repetitive. It keeps going. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I want to endure and be faithful is I remember a moment when I was quote-unquote ordained, when I was commissioned. It happened a long time ago. I was in a body of people, and I was ordained, and I stood up, and I was called. Something was called out in me, and I pledged and committed my life to hit that same nail. And I think that it's unfortunate that many of us have jobs, or all of us have jobs, unless you're in a quote-unquote ministry job, where you don't get to have that same defining moment where you are commissioned, where you have a declaration, where you declare it, says, I'm doing this. This is where I'm going to go. So we're going to have a commissioning service right now. If you would like to be commissioned and you would like to nail your colors to the mast, you want to stand your post and faithfully serve God, and whatever it is, I want to encourage you to be able to take advantage of this. Right now, I've got some occupations, and I want you to find one that most likely fits yours. People come up to me after every service and say, oh, you should have done this. I know. There's a bunch of others. But hopefully you can get lumped in here, and if one is close to you, just pick that one. Entrepreneurs, I want to encourage you and invite you to stand and be commissioned right now. If you want to be faithful to God and faithfully stand your post, you're an entrepreneur, I want you to stand right now. Entrepreneurs, if you don't want to be commissioned, that's cool, okay too. Entrepreneurs. Man, entrepreneurs, Jesus spoke of you when he talked about a new wineskin. Jesus, in many ways, the new wineskin, starting a new thing. As entrepreneurs, I commission you to be great, resilient entrepreneurs. I commission you to honor God with every new initiative you make. I commission you to honor people that you're trying to promote, honor people you're trying to give a product to. I encourage you to keep on going, even when it looks like there isn't enough money for the end of the month. I encourage you, as you build your business, as you build your organization, to think about God and His purposes, not just about you financially getting ahead. You are doing something that God has called you to do. Go out and start new things. You are commissioned. Blue collar trades. Anybody in the blue collar trades? We're going to stand up in our midst. Blue collar trades, the Apostle Paul said to people, lead a quiet life, work with your hands. You have a job that many of us wish that we had, and that you do things tactilely that you can see and identify. I want to commission you when you bolt something down to make it tight, have it in the right torque range. I want to encourage you when you deliver something. I want to encourage you when you nail something. I want to encourage you when you wire something. Do it as if you know God is looking over your shoulder, and he is expecting you to do that well, because his very son was a blue-collar worker. His very son was a carpenter, and your trade is honored and valued. If you don't do what you do, our society does not operate. Hit your nail. You can be seated. White collar workers. White collar workers. You have a job in which many days you leave at the end of the day, and you're not sure exactly what you got done. There's not as much to point to. You can't point to something you tightened or you delivered. It's somewhat difficult for you, and this is why many people in your profession live for quarterly earnings and cookbooks and do all kinds of strange things, because they can't live with delayed gratification. Yours is a job where I commission you to live with delayed gratification. Do the right thing every day, even though you don't see an actual result every day. And I encourage you, as you make money, to not have money be your goal, but to have God be your goal. He has commissioned you and enabled you to make money and to be generous with that money, as with all jobs. And I commission you to balance things well, to make great sales calls, to continue to have performance reviews, to see the noble work in actual management. I encourage you to hit your nail. Government workers, blue and red, government workers. Government workers, every society needs to be governed properly, and we need governance from the highest level to the most mundane level. Whether you are elected or you're appointed or you're hired, we need you. God needs you to serve Him faithfully in whatever you do. Daniel was in government. He served in government for 70 years, and as you serve in government, understand, you don't just serve your boss, you serve a God who wants things done decently in order. And I also commission those of you who are elected, you are commissioned to serve people, not to serve your reelection interests, not to serve somebody who gives you money to vote the way they want. You are commissioned to faithfully serve God. And if you continue to be reelected, wonderful. Honor God with your decisions. You are commissioned to be an ordained officer. Hit your nail. Teachers. Teachers, I commission you to be a great teacher. I commission you to mold minds. There's applause in here because those of us who have kids realize you spend more time with our kids and have as much more influence than we do on a day in, day out basis. You have to make your peace right now, if you haven't already, that to be a great teacher means that you're not going to get paid as some of the, as well as some of the people who are around you, and that needs to be okay with you. Because your profit, your payment doesn't just come in the form of a check. It comes in knowing you are forming future generations, our future scientists, our future entrepreneurs, our future creatives. Come from you. You learn to live with the great paycheck that you get from being faithful. I commission you to be the greatest teacher that God can possibly have you be, and to hit your nail. Creatives, you know, God is linear, but God also is a God of beauty. God creates landscapes that don't have much function. They're just beautiful. When you create beautiful things, whether it's a piece of artwork or a piece of prose or a music or an ad, whatever you create, it is a thing of beauty. And as you put colors together, as you put words together, as you put notes together, understand that you serve a God who isn't just about the utilitarian, but is about the things that makes life pleasurable and enjoyable. When you create great, pure, beautiful things, you are standing in the footsteps of the very God who created a masterpiece in creating you. I commission you to hit your nail. Stay-at-home parents. Let me first speak to the women in here. I know every mom, regularly happens, every mom, when they go back to work in a paycheck job, they feel guilty. And every mom that stays in their home feels guilty. There's something about being a stay-at-home parent that is just not fully understood. And for those of you who have chosen this profession, this is your vocation, this is what God's called you to, you need to know that you have a thankless job. You rub things, you clean things, you will never get thanked for, you will never get a bonus for. And I commission you to be okay without getting the same level of gratification that many of us do in our vocations. Understand, you are the glue of our entire society. You are the glue of every household, and every great thing that happens in America comes out of a household, first and foremost. I commission you to be great stay-at-home parents and to hit your nail. Attorneys. Let's have the attorneys. It's unfortunate that you become a punchline and the people instantaneously laugh with this. You need to not allow that to dumb down your calling to be a great attorney, a great lawyer. God is a God of justice. There is a justice system that needs to operate properly. And while some attorneys may not be faithful and they just may be padding their pockets with various things, you are different. You are called to be different. You are called to be about justice. You are called to argue your case or defend your case as every justice system needs in front of a jury and to be a clear communicator. You are commissioned to create documents that serve the interests of your client and truth. You are commissioned to interpret documents and make them understandable. You're commissioned to bring about that which is right in any sphere that you operate in. We need justice in our country, and you are justice carriers and justice defenders. I commission you to hit your nail. Medical professionals. Jesus is known as the great physician. In the Bible, it also talks about laying hands and anointing with oil. Oil not only symbolizes the presence of the Holy Spirit, but oil have medicinal qualities. God is pro-science medicine. God's pro-science. God's pro-medicine. God is pro-advancement. God is pro-people, physically helping people get it better. Yes, God does supernaturally heal people from time to time, but the main way God fixes people is through your training. It's through your reading of x-rays. It's through your nurturing of the side of a bed. It's through your training that enables you to perform delicate surgery. You are the actual hands of God when you do your job. I commission you to be great at your medical practice and hit your nail. Students, want all the students to stand? There are things, students, that you will learn right now that you will never use. And the unfaithful students among you will use that as an excuse to not be faithful in their studies. What your schooling does is a couple things. Number one, when you finish, that sheepskin says, you faithfully stood your watch for 4 years, 2 years, 6 years, 7 years. You have a unique season in your life right now where you can develop your mind, the very brain that God gave you. You need to be faithful to developing your mind, showing up at class, doing the best you can on your test, honoring your teacher, completing your assignments. You're in a laboratory right now that will dictate how you will perform in other blocks of time in your life. You are to be a faithful, God-honoring student and to hit your nail. Why don't we stand right now? Let's all stand. And I'll just say this, if your profession wasn't mentioned and you didn't want to stand in other ones, I just commission you right now. You know exactly what it is. You know exactly what you do. I commission you to stand your marks, to hit your marks, to say the right things, to stay away from the wrong things. I commission you to see longevity as a goal where you are. Your commission, all of us are commissioned to continue to hit the same nail. We're here worshiping a guy named Jesus because he hit the same nail for 33 years. Whether he was a carpenter, whether he was actually doing teaching ministry, he was faithful. So let's remember him and remember our faithful God as we declare our faithfulness right now.